know, I don't need notes. How many guys have ever gone through a season in your life where you just feel like you're not being very fruitful? Meaning that you're not being very productive. You're just kind of going through the motions, and all of a sudden it's Thursday night, and you don't know what happened Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I don't know about you, but that's me sometimes. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. But first, I kind of want to tell you where I've been the last few weeks. Most of you guys know my wife and I had our first boy. We can clap for that. His name's Rhodes, because I learned how to play piano on my dad's Rhodes keyboard, and that's kind of where I started music, and I thought it was just a cool name for him. But you know, that was 4 weeks ago he was born, and to be honest, that's not the reason why I haven't been here. I've been going through a season of craziness, and a week before Rose was born, my best friend passed away from cancer. And a week after Rose was born, another person in my life passed away. So my life has just been filled with this roller coaster of ups and downs like I've never experienced in my life. And I remember one night my wife said, "What do you need from me? What can I do?" And at the time, I didn't know what to say, because I didn't know what I needed. But what I did know was that this was the biggest spiritual battle in my life, and God and his angel armies are fighting on my behalf, and I need to be spiritually fit. And I told my wife, I said, "When we put the kids down, I need to be in the backyard. So if you don't see me in the backyard, I need you to kick me out of the house. I need you to kick me to the backyard and say, 'You taught me so.'" Because I knew that I needed to get spiritually fit to get my heart right with Jesus. Because I knew that only he was the one that's going to be able to navigate these new life experiences that I'm not ready for, that I don't know what I'm doing. So in this time, I'm asking God, what is it? Where are you in all this? What are you trying to teach me? What's this teachable moment? Because I don't want to miss out on the opportunity for you to do some refining in my life. And it hit me one night. God said, he reminded me of Isaiah 55. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, they do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, sowing seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that comes out of my mouth. It does not return to me empty, but it accomplishes what I desire, and it achieves the purposes for which I sent it." So I know that I may not understand what's going on in my life, why things are happening, but what I do understand is that his ways are higher than mine, and his word does not return to him without watering the depths of my soul. He says in Isaiah 41, "I will make rivers in the barren lands of your life and springs of valley flow in the valleys of your life. I will make the desert experience of your life pools of water and the dry seasons of your life. I will create these flowing springs. I will make cedars grow in your desert season. I will make forests grow in the barren lands of your life. And people will see the work that I've done and know that it's not me, it's not you, but it's him. The Lord God Almighty, who manifested his power in your life and in my life." Every night I've been in my backyard speaking those truths over my life, memorizing them every night because I know his ways are higher than mine. And I remember just crying out to God, God, I'm not ready for this. I don't know what to do. But really, it was more like, God, I'm not ready for this. I don't know what to do because of my neighbors. But in my heart, I was crying out like never before. Finally, one night, God just said to me, Dave, make room for me. Dave, your life is so overcrowded with stuff. Make room for me. So tonight, God is speaking through me to you. He's saying, someone, Dave, needs to make room for me. You see, all the devil wants to do is overcrowd your life so much that you have no room for revival. You have no room for a fresh touch or a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit. Matthew 13 talks about the thorns, the cares of this life, how they begin to just overcrowd us. And they begin to choke out the very word of God out of our lives. Some of us are living overcrowded lives. The cares of this life, the cares of stuff have begun to overcrowd us so much that suddenly God's prophetic word for your life and over your life has become so small because of all the stuff that has become so much bigger, so much more important than God's prophetic promise and God's prophetic revelation in your life. Matthew 9:23, the ruler goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, my daughter has died. Come so she will live. And Jesus goes to Jairus' house and he walks into a house that's just crowded with weeping and crowded with depression and sorrow. And funeral music, it says. And he walks in and he says, make room. For the girl is not dead, but she's sleeping. And you know what they did? They laughed. They ridiculed him. How often do we do that in our lives? We laugh. No way, God, that's not possible. But Jesus says, make room for me. I'm trying to take depression out of your life. I'm trying to take addiction out of your life. I'm trying to take sorrow and weeping out of your life, but your life is so overcrowded and overwhelmed. Jesus goes into the house. Finally, people come out to make room, and he reaches down and he grabs the girl by the hand, and she raises from the dead. I wonder what kind of power we are missing with our overcrowded lives. I wonder what power we're missing when we hold on to our circumstances and our problems and we don't allow God to do what he wants to do in our lives. See, Jesus, he wants to plant a seed in every single one of us, a seed that guides us, directs us, anoints us, and blesses us. But sometimes we're just so crowded with stuff. We're totally missing out on God's word in our life. 1 Samuel 10, Israel's just about to find their first king. Samuel has the horn of oil and he's ready to anoint a king. He cries out to God, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to anoint a king. It was your word for us to have a king, so where is he? God says, behold, he hath hid himself in the stuff. He got caught up in the cares of this life. God is ready to anoint a king, and they couldn't find him. He's hiding in the stuff, the cares of this world. He's hiding among the stuff. I wonder how many of us can relate to the stuff. We go to one thing to the next, this and that, this and that. Our kids are so busy. Our lives are so busy. There's an anointing waiting for someone to come out of the stuff. You see, when Samuel called out to Saul, he says, Saul, come out of the stuff. Scripture says that Saul came out of the stuff. Jesus tonight is calling you out of the stuff. There's an anointing waiting for you to come out of the stuff. To give up your overcrowded life. To make room for him. Throw down your stuff. A lot of these things have no eternal value, no eternal purpose. Say, God, here's my stuff. Here's my dreams. Here's my plans for my life. Here's my passions and desires. Here's everything that I've worked for my entire life. I give it to you, and I'm sorry that I've made these things big and I've made you small in my life. Wants us to make some room for him. Some of us, our lives are overcrowded, and sometimes it takes someone like me to tell you your lives are overcrowded. Would you just raise a hand towards heaven? Come on, every single one of us. God, we surrender our stuff. God, we admit that there's just been a choking going on, choking the very promise and the things of God out of our lives. The things of God have become so small because our lives are just overcrowded with stuff that has no eternal purpose, no eternal value. These things are choking out the spiritual life out of our dream, our call, and our purpose. And God, we come to you tonight. Say, we make room for you. We need you, the life giver. We need you, the life liberator. We need you in our lives. So God, run to us with grace and with mercy. We receive your total forgiveness. We believe we are children of God. Let's all stand. There's 1,000 promises in Scripture of who God says he is and who he says we are. And we're going to sing this bridge one more time. Because some of us need to be reminded of who God says we are. So if you just reach out your hands, and we're going to receive these blessings that God has called us. He says, you are chosen, you are blessed, you are a new creation, you are alive in Christ, you are God's workmanship, you are strong in the Lord, you are victorious, you are complete in him, you are free indeed, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the salt of the earth. You are greatly loved by God, and you are a child and an heir of the King. Amen. I am who you see I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you see I am. Come on. You are for me.
Sunset. It's just so good.
So good.
This is Corey. This is a good friend of mine. He's just such an anointed worship leader who just loves Jesus so much.